Yeah, they're like that. There's not a one of us that can say that we've been shortchanged by any measure whatsoever. I appreciate the Lord, appreciate his work, and for all that he has done for each and every one of us. And we ought to brag upon how good God has been to us. If he's blessed us, we ought to let it be known that we're blessed. And not that we have done anything to deserve it, but because of him and because of his word that we have been blessed tonight. In the book of 2 Timothy, in the 4th chapter, is where we'll be reading from this evening. And I need your prayers for the time that we'll stand before you. While you're turning there, let me say that that Brandon made mention this morning about moving back. And that's going to happen this week, in fact. They're leaving tomorrow to go down. And then I'll be going down Thursday to drive the big truck back. So we need your prayers for traveling mercy, that God will just be with us and watch over us. And I gave you the story for the whole week to tell you that next Sunday morning, Brother Kenny Banks will be preaching for us. And I've been trying to get him to preach, and I'm just going to tell him that you're going to preach for us, Kenny, next Sunday morning. We want to use our brother for the glory of God, allow God to use him and be a blessing to us. And we've got Brandon be back with us, and we're looking forward to him standing here at the church as well. Some of you has made comments to me about them coming back, and I appreciate your prayers and your thoughts. And we're certainly looking forward to them being back with us. So pray for us for a few minutes of time, if you would, tonight. From 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, if you'd like to stand for the reading of God's Word. For he says here in this gospel, this is usually a scripture that you hear that is read and preached from at an ordination service. But God has laid it upon our hearts for this evening. And it will be very familiar to so many of you tonight. He says in the first verse, I charge thee, therefore, before God in the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch in all thy doings, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. And I want to stop reading there with that fifth verse, and you can be seated in the house of the Lord. And we are definitely living in this era of time that it's so much like Paul was telling Timothy here, that many of our churches today, and I'm thankful for a church where we attend, that they still believe in the old time gospel, the preaching of God's word, because that's the way every one of us got saved. It's not by chance. It's not by joining the church. It's not by just a broken heart, but it's by the word of God that we all are saved. And we need to hear what the word says to each and every one of us, that we need the word preached to us. Amen. Because as even Trey said this morning, that even in the best of our efforts, there's not a one of us that doesn't fail during the week or during some time, that we need God to show up with his word to help us get back in line with what the word says for us to do. And he says that it's not just for preachers, but every one of us needs to know the word of God. We need to know whether the word that's being read to us is in fact the truth. Is it really God's word, or is it some man's interpretation of what the word says? I like what the Bible says, that the Bible is not given to any man of private interpretation, but to all of us today. God doesn't teach one way and another way. But He's the same God. It's the same Word. And He will give to us as we are able to take His teaching. You know, God won't give it to us until we're able to receive it. It would be crazy, if I can use, for lack of better words, for me to try to teach Zoe calculus. And some of you don't saying, who's Zoe? Zoe's our newest granddaughter. She's, 8 months old now? 6 months old now. And you see, I have a hard time with age. But at 6 months old, it would be difficult and impossible and useless for me to try to teach her calculus. But as we're able and as she grows and matures, she will come to learn what that is all about. And in the spiritual realm, when we're able to receive it, God will give us all teachings that we have need of tonight. But He said that we ought to preach the Word. He didn't say that we ought to put on some type of a contest, or He didn't say that we ought to try to persuade people with things of this life. He didn't even try to say that we ought to do it with anything other than us gathering in a church where the gospel is being preached. That's why I enjoy Mount Carmel Missionary Baptist Church, is because we have the gospel preached in this church. And you say, well, you're the pastor, of course you'd say that. I say it because if I didn't preach the gospel, I wouldn't be the pastor long. Amen? Because we don't need a fable taught. We don't need some commentary taught. We need the Word of God that will stand for today and for tomorrow. It'll give us all things that we stand in need of, because we know that the times are changing and they're getting worse instead of getting better in our church scene. And some folks might say, well, Larry, you just said that how thankful you was for Lima being here this morning and to see how we have young people that are coming to the Lord. But folks, it's not every city. It's not at every church. It's not at every state in this country that we live in that has good old-time preaching of the gospel. And we ought to be proud tonight. And I say this very solemnly, that we ought to be proud that we have the gospel of Jesus Christ preached in its power and its purity, regardless who it is that gets behind the pulpit. As long as they are called of God, we ought to thank God that we've got somebody that will stand up and preach to us the gospel, because it's the gospel that we need taught in our time in which we're living in. And because He said that when we preach the gospel, that we ought to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Not just leave out part of it, but let's preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. Even when we don't like to hear what it says. Sometimes it gets so close to where we live at that some folks don't like what the gospel does. I'm thankful that there's a Word that will come by and show me my shortcomings and my failures and let me know that I need to change some of my ways. If the gospel did not do that, I would be so far off base that I would be out yonder somewhere, Brother Ron, way out in left field somewhere. But the gospel won't let you go contrary when it's preached in its power and its purity. And Paul's telling Timothy that you need to have this, for because the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. Isn't this where we live at today? That it's not about the preaching of the gospel. Used to when I was growing up, and I'll try to get my message here in a minute about this gospel that we need preached, is that used to that when you would talk about a church, it wasn't talked about because of their programs. It wasn't talked about because of the different things that they had at their church, but it was talked about like this. If you ever get a chance, you ought to go by that church because they've got a good, powerful preacher behind the pulpit. They got a church that loves God and they love to hear the Word. Folks, if anything else, we ought to want to be known that we are a church where God lives at, and we have the power in this house today. It was talked about and testified this morning about being glad that they was here and they could feel the love when they came in the door. And folks, that's not you and I, but it's God that lives in this house that welcomes our brothers and sisters into here, because we've got so many today that you can go to and they'll treat you right, but they don't have the doctrine that we have, and they don't have sound doctrine today. And folks, let me tell you, and I can't help but say this when I preach about things like this, is I would rather meet them at the door with love than I have with a coffee cup, wouldn't you? Because love will do more than what a coffee cup will. When they come into the house of the Lord, they need to know that no matter where you're at, no matter how far away from God you are, that there is still a power that draws men and women back to God. How many of you believe tonight in the old time drawing of the Holy Spirit where conviction comes down because the gospel is preached, Brother Bill, in such a way that you can't stay too close to the fire? In that fact, the Bible says that they'll either move up or they'll move out, and we need our people to move up because the power that Paul was telling Timothy here, it's not a show. It's not something that we work up within ourselves, but he said that they would not endure sound doctrine and heap upon themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears away from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. This is not where we're at today, that most churches, it's more of a program to see how many people they can get to fill the pews, or how big of an offering they can have, or how big of a cathedral they can have. God is not in that. He is in the soul-saving business today, and He will not stay where His Word is not preached in His power and His purity, and where people have itching ears. You want to hear something different, you don't have to go far down the street to find somebody that will tell you what you want to hear. But I like when the preacher gets up and preaches and just gets all over me and shows me my shortcomings so that I can make adjustments in my life. How many of you have had to change your life since you got saved and had to go back? I had a sister just talk to me today, and she said, "Do you believe what once somebody gets saved, and I believe they're saved, do you believe that they can go back and get right with God?" And I said, "Sure they can. When God draws them, they can go right back to the same God that saved them, and God will renew His fellowship with them." Folks, if He didn't, you and I would be in bad shape today. But thank God we have the power of the gospel that's preached, that shows us what God can do. And this gospel that Paul was telling him that he would to go and preach it, he says that for it is the power he says that for it was is the preach the word, be instant in the season, because it's the word that people need to hear, because this gospel that Paul was telling Timothy to preach, it's the one that gives salvation to every one of us. If it wasn't for the gospel being preached, and folks, you and I would still be lost and undone without the Lord. But how many of you know it's because you heard a gospel message preached in His power and purity that you are saved tonight and on your way to heaven? Not just a member of a church, but you are part of the family of God because you got saved today. I appreciate Larry Jones, and I'm a member of the Mount Carmel Missionary Baptist Church. But folks, let me tell you, I am more proud that I am a member of the Church of the Living God, that if this church goes down, in fact, we just got a letter from a church that we sent to, and Brother Larry, the church sent the letter, and they said there's no record of this person on our church books. Folks, I don't have to worry about the clerks losing the record or losing my name or getting something backwards. It doesn't matter whether you find my name on the Mount Carmel Missionary Baptist Church or not, because back in 1972 at an old-fashioned altar, because the gospel was preached, I made my way out behind the pew, went down to an altar of grace, and I prayed there, and my name is found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And because of that, I say, preachers, preach on. Singers, sing on. Let's tell them about Jesus Christ. Put this foolishness behind us and keep walking the way that God wants us to walk, because without the gospel, you and I cannot have what God wants us to have. He said if we would preach this gospel, that it would impart grace to us. In the book of Acts, in the 20th chapter, I'm glad I found out about grace. When mercy called, when the debt that I owed come due, and I had no way of paying it, I'm glad that grace stepped in between me and damnation of my soul. People say, how good is grace? It's marvelous today. It's wonderful. In fact, amazing. Does it sometimes seem like it really tells how good grace is? But how many of you know today, by the grace of God, we are saved and on our way to heaven? I didn't know that I could be saved until the gospel told me I was lost. Thank God I got lost so I could get saved today. And when I got lost, grace showed up and knocked upon my heart's door and tell me I didn't have to stay lost, but I could be saved by the grace of God. And not only does it do that, but I'm glad that when the gospel is preached, that it will establish us in the faith. Because we need folks to be established in the faith of God. As he says in the book of Romans, in the 16th chapter, folks, people say, well, how did you grow in the Lord? And how did you get to know what you know about God and His Word? It's because I stayed in a Bible teaching, Bible believing, a Bible preaching church, to where the Word was preached to us in the truth, and it established faith in me to know that when God did it for them, you've heard me say this so many times over the years, my faith is this right here. If God did it for my brothers and sisters, it lets me know that He will do the same thing for me in my life. That there is nothing that I can face that you have not faced, that God will not make us the victor instead of the victim out of it. In fact, not just that, even if you hadn't gone through it, you know what the Bible says? Jesus Christ, my elder brother, He went through every temptation and every trial that you and I face. And you know what the book says? In all these things, He was more than just a conqueror. He defeated them and He won the victory over them today. And because He won, you know what the gospel tells me? I can win also. In fact, I'm going to win. I'm going to go ahead. Can I preach tonight for a few minutes of time? I'm going to go ahead and stake my claim that no matter what the devil does, I am going to be the winner. I'm going to be the victor in it, because the Bible says whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord. So if I live here, I've got a good life. He's blessed us so. But if He sees fit to call me home tomorrow, I can say I've got a better life that's waiting for me over there, where the gospel will no longer be preached, but I'll look upon the gospel, because He is the Word of God. Amen. Not only that, but John said it like this: when the gospel is preached, people can be set free. We ought to, can I tell it like this? We ought to come in this house hoping that God, and praying that God will bless the singers, but we ought to be praying even more earnestly that when the man of God gets behind the pulpit, Lord, just open up the fire from heaven, pour it out upon the Word, because it's not my Word, it's not my preaching, it's the Word of God, it's His preaching today. And people say, well, how can you say that? You're the voice that we hear, and you're the one that we see up there. God can take me out and put somebody else. In fact, I'll put it like this. I'm afraid not to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and try to conform to what the other folks are doing in society today. Yes, every one of us could conform and change the way that we worship. Our style of worship, our way that we do, is old-fashioned, and it's fastly dissipating throughout the land. But I'm glad that it will never, never truly go out of style, because this is what people really need. They don't even know what they need, but if they would hear the gospel, they would find out that's what I was looking for. He said it would set us free. And when the Lord sets you free, you're free indeed. How many of you are free tonight? Amen. I'm as free can be. People say, well, you're still bound by these earthly ties. Yes, I am. But my soul is free because the gospel was preached. Because today, in every one of us, how many of you tonight, I know I'm asking a lot of questions. Let me talk about this setting free. That even since I've been set free, there's been times that the devil has come back by me and say, you didn't get what you thought you got when you went down to an altar. There's young Christians that's here tonight that the devil will come to you and say, you know, you went to altar and you say you got saved, but you really didn't get it. Look at your life. Look at everything going on. And you're just as lost now as you was before you went to that church. And every once in a while, I would listen to him and I would get down and out wondering if I truly got saved. But then when the Holy Spirit would come by, it would take me right back to when I bowed down and I cried out. And I remember that burden was lifted. People say, how do you know you got saved? The only way I can say it is that I remember I went down lost with a heavy, broken heart. But when I got up, I did not have that burden anymore. And I've not had that burden since then. I used to tell the church, and I feel that spirit of long windedness tonight, but I'm trying to move quickly. I told the church that I went down and I used to carry the burden of a sinner, but now I carry the burden for a sinner, that they might receive the freeness from God that we received in our own life. And then not only that, but when we preach the gospel in the book of Ephesians in the 5th chapter, it says it will cleanse the church. Sister Villa and them come up here and they work on this church cleaning it. They clean the carpets, they clean the pews, clean the chandeliers and all this woodwork. They clean it, make sure everything is in order. But folks, the power of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it doesn't work on the pews. It doesn't work on the piano or on this carpet or on these pews. You know what the Word of God gets to? It gets to those that are free moral agents. Those that have souls in their life. This wood is as dead can be. But those that's sitting on these pews, as long as there's a life in them, there's hope that God's Word will cleanse them. And not just the sinners, folks. How many of you as Christians have been cleansed by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Don't you just love it when somebody preaches all over you? People say, well, I don't go to church to get preached on. That's what's wrong with us. We ought to go to church to get preached on, because we all need to move up a little closer to what saith the Word of God. And then he also said it like this, that when we preach the power of God, when we preach the Word of God, as he says in 1 Peter in the 2nd chapter, that it will nourish our spiritual life. I don't want to be a babe in Christ for all ever, for all eternity. I want to grow up a little bit, don't you? I want to get off the milk of the Word and get some of that meat every once in a while that I can chew upon. And people say, well, milk's a whole lot easier for you to take in and digest. Yes, but it don't stick with you very long. That's why we got so many that's in and out. Kenny, if they would get some meat down in them, they would hit the meat of the Word. They would find out this. It will stick with you when the going is good and when the going is bad. Sometimes when you're, and we've all been this, to where you're alone, long distance in between blessings, and you wonder, am I going to make it or not? But when you've got some meat of the preaching of gospel of Jesus Christ, you can go back to that last message or a message that God blessed you with years ago or maybe months ago. Folks, I still go back to the well when it comes to some of those messages, and I just go back and I rejoice as although I just heard it yesterday, because it blesses my soul, it nourishes me, and gives me the strength that I have need of. People say, how can you go back to a message and it bless you as if it's the first time you heard it? It's God's Word. This is not a dead book. It's alive. It's a living book. And the Word just keeps growing and growing and growing. Let me move on today. Not only will it cleanse the church, but it, as he says in the book of Hebrews in the 4th chapter, the Word, when it is preaching its power, will search out your life. It will tell on you. Anybody ever been at church and when the preacher's preaching, it's like somebody told him all things you did? Sometimes I've been here preaching and after church I find out that somebody had told Becky or somebody told one of you about something that's going on in their life, and they say, how did you know about it? Folks, I don't have to know your life. I don't need to know your life. In fact, the less I know, the more freedom I have to preach the gospel of the Word. Can they put this in? I'll move on. Years ago, preachers used to get up and they knew something about you that was going on. That's what they'd preach on Sunday morning. I don't believe in that hogwash. I believe in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if the gospel won't convict you, neither will my words. But when the gospel convicts you, it will cause you to want to change your life and get right with God so that you won't feel like everybody's looking at you when it comes to church time. Folks, let me tell you, I worry about how our lives are lived and what people think about us in this church house and outside in the world. But folks, let me tell you, there's nothing like when conviction comes by and says, your life has been searched, just like He told the king. He says, you've been weighed in a balance and found wanting. Folks, I want to get it right before it goes on too long, because I certainly don't want to add sin on top of sin today. Because the Bible says if you know to do right and you do wrong, it's imputed as sin. This is why we don't have the popularity of so many churches. But you know what? Let me have popularity with God. Because it will do more for us than anything else. Let me move on tonight. The Bible says that when we preach the gospel, as Paul told Timothy in the book of Romans in the 10th chapter, he said it would bring peace to us. I tell you, after I've been in a service like we had this morning, when the power of God is preached in His Word, I can lay down and sleep like a baby. All the fears, all the worries that I have, people say, well, does church really cleanse you of all that? I can leave here knowing that, folks, it's bigger than I am. But I know somebody's bigger than I am. When the gospel gets down to where I live at, it gives me the affirmation that I'm not in charge, but God is in charge. Those things that I can't do, Paul said like this, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I don't know how He's going to work it out and how He's going to do it, but I know this, I have enough faith because of the preaching of the gospel that I put it all, I put everything I have in Jesus Christ, because I believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him, that try to live for Him. He's going to bless us over and over again. So I say, preachers, preach on. Preach on today. And then He also said this, and I'll close. He said, when the power of this word is preached at the church at Ephesus, Paul told them that when it's preached in its power, it will give you protection. I need protection. Because the devil comes against every one of us with his wiles. He comes against us with his fiery darts, and we need something to protect us. I found out a long time ago, I am not big enough to take on the devil and defeat him. And people that say that I put the devil in his place, folks, you've underestimated yourself. Or you've overestimated yourself and underestimated the devil. Because you and I are not big enough to take on the devil and get the victory. But oh, if you will just call out to our brother. People say, well, will Jesus come and help me? I'm not saying that He will come, but you know what He'll do? He'll dispatch an angel or two. And those angels will come and they'll fight that battle and give you the victory today. And you say, well, then I can claim the victory. Folks, I'm careful not to claim victory on anything, but I want to claim and give Him the glory for all things today, because it's Christ who did the work. People say, well, why wouldn't Jesus come? Why would He send angels instead of Him coming? Go back and read when Lucifer was cast out. It wasn't God who cast him out. It wasn't Jesus. It wasn't even the Holy Ghost that cast him out. You know who it was? It was the angels that bound him and cast him out of heaven. You know what he's saying? He's saying, this battle's not big enough for me. I don't need to fight him. I'll just send an angel to do it. Folks, anything you and I need, God can just dispatch an angel to take care of us today. And then he also says this in the book of Romans. Well, Robin Sharon gives us that song. When the power of the gospel is preached, he says that it gives us fullness of our blessings. Folks, you and I don't know the half of the story. Can I preach a few more minutes? You know what the Bible says? It says that eyes have not seen, nor has it ears heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man. All the good things that God has got laid up for us when we make this crossing over. But folks, not just when we get there. Has anybody else read that he's promised us blessings on this side of the river? Has anybody ever been down and out and you struggling through and you didn't know what the Word said about a particular blessing, but then the power of the gospel was preached and you learned that you was entitled to some benefits, to some blessing that you didn't even know about. Kenny, every once in a while when somebody is singing a song or a preacher is preaching a message and they'll come across something that maybe we read in days past, but the Lord had never revealed it to us like that. Sometimes I just want to jump up and holler and say, "Hey, that's me. I'm the one that He said I could have that." And folks, when He starts talking about the blessings, God did not want us to be the tail. He wants us to be the head. He didn't want us to be the borrower. He wants us to be the lender. He didn't want us coming in last. He wants us coming in first. And everything we have need of, Brother Bill, God has told us in His Word, if we will just do His will, seek His face, if we will just ask Him, faith believing, that God will give us all things that we stand in need of. Now, I know that's not popular preaching in a Baptist church. And I say this very cautiously. But a lot of Christians got the mindset that in order to be a child of God, you've got to be dirt poor and not have anything. Now, if anything you've got stands in between your relationship with God, you ought to get rid of it. You better get rid of it. But if you do not allow that to come between yourself and God, God will bless you with all things that you did, more than what you could ever imagine. In fact, let me just take a tally here tonight. How many of you have been blessed abundantly above what you could have ever imagined in your lifetime because you heard somebody preach and teach about the blessings that God has in store for us? And folks, let me just close with this, and I'm not being arrogant tonight, but if you don't want them, send them over my way. I'll take every blessing that God has for us, and I say that jokingly because, you know what? God's got a blessing with every one of our names on it. I don't have to take any hand-me-downs. I'll just take what's mine. Amen? We need to preach the gospel. We ought to back the gospel. We ought to back a church that preaches and stands upon the Word of God. One of the things I've always said about this church, folks, is that they know the Word of God and they enjoy the Word of God. That says more about a church than anything else you could ever say. Because you see, where the Word of God is preached, where the Word of God is welcome, that's a place of refuge for your people, mine that's down and out. It's a place where I can go and worship and feel like I've been to church. Anybody ever went to church and when you got out, you wondered where you was really at? Now we all, every once in a while, we all have dry spells, do we not? But folks, it ought not last long. Because if I can't get a hold of God, somebody else better get hold of Him. Because we don't need to go through a dry spell too long. Because we have to grow. And you know what happens if in the natural realm, if these gardens go without water, you know what happens? They wither up and they die. We don't need our children and our loved ones withering up. We need them to have a full supply of the gospel of the preaching of Jesus Christ so that they can grow and be able to shine in these last days in which we live in. I hope you got something from the Word. While we stand, they sing a verse of a song. People say, "Well, what kind of invitation do you have with this, Pastor?" It's up on my heart to have an invitation in this way. That folks, if you're thankful for the Word of God, the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you ought to thank God for it. Thank your church, your brothers and sisters. And folks, if you know that this is the way that God wants us to live and the way that God wants us to grow, then what we ought to do is ask God to just send us more of His power in our lives so that we can receive that which God has in store for us. And so that we can grow and tell others about the goodness of Jesus Christ. And some folks might say, "Well, what about me that we heard so many testimonies this morning about this. For those that churches have just dried up. It's more of a show. It's more of a program than it is serving the Lord." I'm careful not to cast stones. I've been to a lot of churches around the land. Some of them have good programs and they do a lot of good works. And I'll be the first to confess to it. But folks, when I go to church down and out, When I go to church hungry, a program's not what I need. I need the preaching of the gospel. When my loved ones go and they're away from God, I need somebody to tell them about Jesus Christ. When my loved ones and your friends and your loved ones that go to church and they're lost, they don't need a show. They don't need a music ministry. What they need is somebody to tell them about Jesus Christ in such a way that is done with love and humility. Not that we look down our noses at anybody. You know what? When I see a sitter, you know what I see? I once sat in that same pew. But thank God, the power of the gospel came by my way. And I'm saved today. Folks, Jesus doesn't love us any more than He loves the vilest sinner. He loves us all. And He wants them to be saved. And tonight, if you're lost, He wants you to be saved. He doesn't want you to have to go through life wondering if you're right. So many folks today, and I'll put this in, I'm trying to find a hushing place. I seen an email that said something like this past week. 86% of all Americans say they believe in God. If 86% of all Americans believed in the preaching of the power of Jesus Christ, our country would not be in the shape that it's in. We wouldn't have all these problems in our land. We wouldn't have to worry about separation of church and state when it comes to the reading of the Bible or even the Ten Commandments being posted in our schoolhouses and in our courthouses. People say, well, that's too old-fashioned. Folks, let me tell you, that's why our country prospered the way it did for so long. It's because we were a God-fearing country. Men and women knew that their sins was sin. It was none of this sugarcoating. Folks, let me tell you, Tara sings a song every once in a while that says, it's either black or white. There's no in between. It's either right or it's wrong. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either part of the family of God or you're outside looking in. We need the gospel to discern which are you. And the Bible gives us this example. You're either a wheat or a tare. You're either a sheep or a goat. You know, and I'm trying to find a hushing place. During the daytime, the sheep and the goats were allowed to go out there to pasture together. I'm just giving you some history. But at nighttime, when they came in, they were separated. They were separated. Folks, it's almost nighttime. The Lord's about to call. And not everybody's in a church house is a part of the family of God. In fact, not every church is part of God. Not everyone that says church over the door is truly a church. Give me a place, whether it be a building or maybe a home or maybe even just out underneath an oak tree somewhere. Give me a place where they stand up and preach the gospel. And that's where I want to be. Because that's my future. That's my hope for today and my blessing for tomorrow. Tonight, while they sing just one verse of a song, you follow your heart. You want to come and you're thankful for what God has done, where He's placed you, you come. Maybe you've not thanked Him lately for such a good place to worship. Maybe you want to come and ask Him to help us to preserve this for the future so that our kids and grandkids can grow up with the same preaching. Or maybe the gospel has touched your heart to where you realize you're lost and undone and you want to be saved. You want to know that when your life comes to an end, that heaven will be your eternal resting place. I ask you, will you come tonight? Whatever the need is, just follow your heart. Because the gospel has been preached to you. You know it's the Word of God. Because you've been weighed, you've been shown that your life needs to have changes in it. Why don't you follow your heart? Follow your heart tonight.
So if you're wandering,
because it's not me, it's not this church,
when you need,
but it's the Word of God that can save you today.
The answer
to your question. Can the Word of God set me free? Amen. Amen. Listen at this verse. Listen, go ahead, sing on, Sharon. That's a wonderful song.
Pressing.
Yes, listen to what this woman did.
The crowd,
she didn't need another doctor.
To touch him.
She didn't need somebody else to tell her that she was sick.
For she
knew where she was at. And she heard about a man that was in town that could take care. She had that kind of faith.
So
do you tonight?
Pain,
yes.
She reached for his garment.
Just reach out tonight.
And with one touch.
Yes. Just one
she
touch.
She proclaimed that God is.
Yes. Amen. That's the power of God.
Oh, God can turn doubt. Oh,
yes. Yes.
Eternal life.
No matter what it is that you have need of, God can take care of it today. He can take care of it for you, mom and dad,
so
young man or woman.
If
God can't, it can't be done.
When you need help and man can't.
Yes. Amen. How many of you know that God can? Yeah. Don't be ashamed. Folks, I tell you, God can do things that you and I can only hope for. We can only dream about. Brandon testified this morning at the close of the service that he had a great desire, him and Bethany, to get back up here. And folks, a career, money will only take you so far. But when you need the gospel is more valuable than anything this world has to offer you. More valuable. And some have said, well, you're just stuck on your church. No, I'm stuck on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But you know what he and Bethany couldn't do? All they could do was hope that a door would be opened up somewhere. But you know what? When they got serious and began to pray about it, God began to work. The Bible says if we will pray faith believing, if we ask anything of the Lord, that He will give to us. He is faithful and just to give to us. People say, well, I have all kinds of things I have need of. I'll tell you what, in my latter years, you know what I began to evaluate? There's a lot of things that we thought we needed that we had no need of. Anybody, can I get a witness in the house? Let me tell you. Paul said, with food and raiment, therefore be content. And I found this out. The more you have, the more it costs you. The more work it is. I like some of y'all's philosophy that I've talked to in days past. That, you know what we ought to do? We ought to live for today because we don't know if tomorrow will come. Becky was talking about, we've had all of the grandkids this past week. Our house looks like a tornado went through it. And she was talking after church. I don't know who she was talking to. I heard her say she wouldn't even let a dog in our house. Didn't say much about me. But I know what she's meaning. But you know what? If the sun don't come up tomorrow, it won't matter to a hill of beans what that house is in. Now, I'm not telling you that you ought to just let things go, but I am saying this. Sometimes we all look at our priorities and say, is it really important? How clean does it really have to be? And I'm not telling you to be one of those clutter people now. And I think on Wednesday night somebody was talking about that about me. You know, and I forget what they're called, but y'all have seen it on TV. Hoarders, there you go. Because I told him on Wednesday night when Jim throws stuff away, I'm just wishing I was down the street to see what he's throwing out. Because I know Jim, it could be brand new. If he ain't used it, he gets tired of it, it's gone. And I might have a need for it sometime. But God bless you. I pray that you got something from the message from this day. It's been a wonderful day to be in the house of God. And I appreciate our young people. I bragged on Lima, but folks, I'm as prouder of our young people. Because I know they're here. I know what they do. I know their desires. And folks, we ought to just keep working, asking God to send us even more young people. I'm looking for a large influx. People say, well, how do you say that? How can you say that after preaching a message? I say that because God is moving in our church. And if we could just get our people right and get these saved that's been coming, God's going to bless us to see great things happen here at Mount Carmel. And there's some that I believe that's out there that God's going to send by our way. And people say, who are they? God doesn't tell me everything. He doesn't show everything. I've been asking God for several years, Lord, just send us some more preachers. Just send us some more. And this morning I looked around and we had, what, 5 or 6 here this morning? Tonight we got 3. You know how many Sundays I've come here and we only had 1? And he wasn't the best. He just happened to be the one that was here. I appreciate my brothers, and there's no jealousy. As long as they're preaching the way that God blesses them to preach, there's no jealousy in my heart. But I pray for you, and I pray for your families, and ask that you do the same for us. Have a great week. Enjoy the blessings that God has given to you. And remember us, Brandon and Bethany fly out tomorrow. And Becky will have all 3 of their kids. They're going down and packing up. And then they've got some help that's going to help load it on the truck. I will fly out Thursday morning and drive back. It's a 15, 16-hour drive in a car. So in an old U-Haul truck, I might make it in 20. They go pretty fast. They got governor set at 60 miles an hour. This is the last one that we have rented. That's what it said. Governor set at 60. And you know if the governor set at 60, you know how fast I'm going to be going? 60. Downhill. Uphill, 45. God bless you.
Have it.
Person who will lead them after I'm gone.
Yeah. Amen. 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 Amen.